fellow Israelites, he said, why are you so amazed at this? Why are you staring at us as though it was our own power or piety that made this man walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors, he has glorified his child Jesus, the one you handed over and denied in the presence of Pilate, although he had decided to let him go. But you denied the Holy One, the Just One, and requested and said to have a murderer given to you, and so you killed the Prince of Life. But God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses to the fact. And it is in his name, working through faith in his name, that's given strength to this man who you see and know. It is faith which comes through him that has given him this new complete wholeness in front of all of you. Now, my dear family, Peter continued, I know that you acted in ignorance just as your rulers did. But this is how God has fulfilled what he promised through the mouth of all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. So now repent and turn back so that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshment may come from the presence of the Lord, and so that he will send you Jesus, the one he chose and appointed to be his Messiah. He must be received in heaven, you see, until the time which God spoke about through the mouth of his holy prophets from ancient days, the time when God will restore all things. Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me, one from amongst your own brothers. Whatever he says to you, you must pay attention to him. And everyone who does not listen to that prophet will be cut off from the people. All the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and his successors spoke about these days too. You are the children of the prophets, the children of the covenant which God established with your ancestors when he said to Abraham, in your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. When God raised up his servant, he sent him to you first to bless you by turning each of you away from your wicked deeds.
Right at the beginning of this series, Colin asked us to deal with the theme of refreshing, and I'm number four in line, so it's sometimes a bit difficult to know where to take up on a theme that's been dealt with before. But if I transgress on other people's preparation in the past, forgive me, but I hope I'm going to bring something fresh to you this morning. I'm going to start with the first slide, which will illustrate what I'm hoping to do. A time for everything. It's a phrase taken from the book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament. And the writer to the book speaks about all the different times there are in life. He begins by saying there's a time to be born and a time to die. And we all know that in our lives there is a time for everything. And the writer goes on to talk about all the different times in our lives and how God is in them, each and every one. The difficult times, as we've been hearing this morning, as well as the good times. A time for everything. And I want to apply it to this scripture that we've had read to us this morning. It's a story of John, the apostle, and Peter as they were walking towards the temple in Jerusalem. And they come across a man who had been lame from birth. And as Peter looked at him, the man said to him, expecting some money. But Peter said to him, I don't have any money. I don't have silver or gold. But one thing I will say, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And the man who had been lame from birth, with the help of Peter raising him by the hand, got up, and first of all he began to walk, then he began to jump, and then he began to praise God, and all the people were absolutely amazed at the way in which God had healed this man. And Peter had to reassure the onlookers, it wasn't his ability, it wasn't his gifts in particular, but it was God acting in a very sovereign and a mighty way to raise this man from infirmity and begging and raising him to fullness of life so that he was jumping and praising God all the way to the temple. This is the background to this story. And Peter, when the crowd has gathered and begin to listen to him, he begins to tell them a number of things that they needed to hear. They had to hear that they were part of a conspiracy to put Jesus Christ to death. They had to hear that this miracle was not done by Peter, but it was done by God himself in the name of Jesus. And Peter begins to tell them a number of things that they had to hear if they were to have a place in God's blessing and in God's salvation. And I want just to relate this to the passage that we've had read to us this morning. And first of all, in the second slide that we're going to see this morning, a time for everything, but there's a time to repent. Peter says, "Repent then and turn to God that your sins may be forgiven." There's a time for repentance. John Bussell dealt with this passage a few weeks ago and explained very well that repentance means not only being sorry for what the things wrong that you've done, but it means turning away from those things and turning towards God. The classic example of this is the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son, one of two brothers. His elder brother was more sensible, if you like, but the younger brother wanted all the money his father could give him. And he went into a far country and spent his time in riotous living. Riotous living? Does this ring a bell with the 21st century? Riotous living? He went into a far country and spent his life in riotous living. And eventually there came a point where all his money was spent, his friends had gone, the money had gone. And he came to realize how foolish he'd been. And yes, he was sorry. But what did he do? From the point of deepest need, he turned round and began to go back to his father. First of all, to plead with him to be a servant in his father's household. But as we know from the story, he was accepted back once more as a son with great rejoicing. There is a time for repentance, not only being sorry for what we've done, but turning to God with all our heart and soul and mind and seeking him with all that lies within us. I wonder whether the message of repentance is appropriate for you this morning. Is this a moment and a time to repent? It may be, I don't know. There may be someone who actually doesn't know the Lord here this morning. And it may be that hearing these words in the context has made you realize that you need not only to be sorry for your life, but you need to turn and put your faith in Jesus Christ. It may be that there are people here who need to repent of things that they've done wrong in their lives and have never been confessed before. Maybe there have been wrong turnings in your life which you have never repented of. Maybe there have been relationships in your life in which you've done wrong to another person or never said sorry to them because of what you've done to them. Is this a time of repentance for you? Not only to be sorry in this service, but to take the earliest opportunity of getting on the phone or writing a letter in which you express your sorrow and desire to be restored in your relationship with the person you've offended. It may be someone in the fellowship that you've been out of sorts with, and you've never really mended that relationship, and you've perhaps been sorry afterwards, but there is a need for repentance in the sense of going to that person and saying, look, I'm really sorry for what I did so many weeks or so many months ago. And I really want to say sorry to you and to make amends if I possibly can. There's a time for everything. And it may be there is a time for repentance for some of you this morning. Not that I want you to talk about it, not that I want you to do anything special openly about it, but in your hearts, take in the message that God is speaking to you this morning and realize that there is a time for repentance for Christians as well as non-Christians. There's a time to be refreshed. Times of refreshing from the Lord. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Times of refreshing. The New Testament has two main applications for this refreshing. The first one is in the work of the Spirit coming into our lives. In Acts 2 and verse 38, on the end of the day of Pentecost, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit first comes into our lives, it's like the refreshing cold water on a hot day. God, by his Spirit, answers your response of faith and comes into your life in a very real and wonderful way. And there is a sense of refreshment and release in your spirit and even in your body. But of course, the Holy Spirit may work in subsequent occasions as well. I like the verse in Ephesians 5:18 where it says, be filled with the Spirit. And there is a sense of continuity, a continuous sense. Be filled with the Spirit and be continually filled with the Spirit. And there may be occasions in your life subsequent to your becoming a Christian when you are refreshed by fresh influxes of the Holy Spirit. It may be in a big meeting, maybe in Soul Survivor today. Even today, young people are being refreshed by the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. It may also come when you've experienced that God has been responding to the gospel in an amazing way. How many of you have been in meetings where you've seen people coming forward for Christ? I'm old enough to know the Billy Graham meetings where people were in response to an appeal. Billy Graham would say, get up out of your seats and come forward. And you've known the joy and the spirit of refreshing which has come upon you as you've seen people walk towards the front with great numbers. And it's been good sometimes in lesser meetings when people have responded, perhaps after a baptismal service, and the Spirit of God has come refreshing into your life again as you've seen response to the good news of Jesus Christ. There's a time to be refreshed. Refreshment not only comes through the immediate work of the Holy Spirit, refreshment also comes through fellowship with other Christians. Let me read a passage in 1 Corinthians 16, right at the end of the chapter. Paul, after dealing with difficult problems in the church at Corinth, comes to the end of his letter in chapter 16 and verse 17 and 18. He says, listen to this. I was glad when Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus arrived, because they have supplied what was lacking from you. For they refreshed my spirit and yours also. Such men deserve recognition. The Apostle Paul was refreshed because he had contact and fellowship with other Christians, perhaps sometimes in times of difficulty and need. In this letter to the Corinthians, he had to deal with difficult problems they had, and some of the Corinthians were not altogether happy with him. So he was refreshed when he met with these brothers, and he found refreshment of spirit. We may find refreshment in spirit, I believe, as we have this morning with the stories that have been shared with us. Jean's testimony about the Lord helping her through this difficult week. And our fellowship together, we've been refreshed. Some of you will perhaps know the refreshment which comes from belonging to a small group, what we call a growth group in this church. And we can be refreshed as we meet together in a small group and share in a way that we sometimes can't do in the larger fellowship. I've been blessed by the fellowship of Christians in my Christian life. Let me tell you a story about refreshment with other Christians. After school, I went to university and became a Christian at the University of Durham and benefited from the refreshment of Christian fellowship in a Christian union. But then, after university, I had to do national service, and I spent 2 years in the army. One of my postings was to Berlin. When the Russians were surrounding it, there were one or two of us keeping guard in Berlin, but we never actually saw any Russians. But you can imagine, being in the army, there were sometimes very few opportunities for Christian fellowship, and when they arrived, they were so beneficial and blessing, much a blessing. An army scripture reader and his wife opened their home to the Christians on the base. And every week we were able to go to have fellowship with them, to have a meal with them, and to have teaching and worship, but to be refreshed away from the everyday life in the army. And then when we moved to Barnard Castle and we were waiting for the end of our term for national service, I was able to go to a church in Darlington, a Baptist church in Darlington. And in that church there was a couple who provided me with tea every Sunday afternoon. I travelled by bus from Barnard Castle to Darlington. I knew that there'd be tea on the table. And I was refreshed by this simple act of hospitality week after week. Times of refreshing. There are times to be refreshed. Aren't they wonderful when you have these times? When suddenly, after a difficult week or a difficult month or whatever it is, somehow you are refreshed by the companionship and fellowship of other Christians, and you find time for encouragement and strength and peace in the company of other Christians. There's a time to be refreshed. And then thirdly, there's a time for restoration. Peter, in his talk to these onlookers, spoke about a time of restoration. Jesus, he says, must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. There's a time for restoration. People differ about the ways in which they expect God to wind up things in this world of ours. Some people think in terms of God providing a place for the people of Israel in their own land before the final events. Others believe that before the end of time, as Paul says in Romans, that all Israel will be saved. But one thing we know, that at the end of time, Jesus Christ will come again and restore all things. Jesus Christ will come again and restore all things. Don't you find, when you hear all the news on your television screens about the terrible events in Barcelona and other cities, when you hear about the mudslides in Freetown, when you hear about the monsoons in Bangladesh, when you hear about the drought in parts of Africa, don't you look forward to the time of restoration? One day, God will come and restore all things. There's a time for restoration. I'm looking forward to that time of restoration when Jesus Christ comes again, and when this sinful and suffering world will come to an end, and when God, through his Son, will bring to an end all that is bad and all that is difficult, and will come to restore once again his ultimate plan to bring about a new heavens and a new earth. Bear in mind that God is the God of the universe. He's made this universe so big. We're just a small planet held in space at just the right place and the right time. And one day God is going to restore all things and will provide a place for us. He'll restore all things. Which leads us on to a time to respond. There's a time for everything. And in a service, there needs to be some sort of response in our hearts to what God has been saying to us. I don't know what God exactly has been saying to you. Perhaps he's been saying to you, speaking to you, about the need to make things right with the person you've offended in the past. And maybe you need to respond quietly in your hearts and to set about putting in train some restoration of your relationships with the person you've offended or with whom you're out of sorts with. Time to respond may mean, for someone who doesn't know the Lord today, it may be that you're hearing for the first time that our God is real. Our God is engaged with you. Our God has plans for this world, and somehow you're not with it. You're not in it. Maybe it's a time to respond this morning, to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It may be this morning that there are things that God is saying to you, not things that I've spoken to you about, but there's a time for everything. There's a time for you to do things. And God is saying certain things to you which you need to put in practice and carry out as a result of his response to the word this morning. There is a time for everything. There's a time to repent. There's a time to be refreshed. There's a time to be able to respond appropriately according to how God is speaking to you this morning. And this is how God was speaking through Peter on that day closely following the day of Pentecost, when the lame man was raised from his illness and went about jumping and praising and worshipping God. It's time for response. You don't have to do anything openly. But you may come and ask for prayer if you'd like it. There are those who'd be willing to pray for you. Or to come to speak to me about something which has just touched your lives. There's a time for everything, and there's a time to respond. And I want, just as we quietly think about it for a moment and then pray, that you will make up your mind how you want to respond today. Let's pray together. Oh God, our Father, we pray that you will help us just now as we seek to know how to respond to your word this morning. We know there is a time for everything and a time to respond. And we need to know in our own lives how you want us to respond at this time. Speak to us, Lord. Help us to know what we should do and how we should respond. Renew us by your Spirit and grant us a spirit of refreshing here this morning. And if we are disconsolate and weary about the things in this world, we pray that you will give us a hope of restoration that you have in mind for us in the coming days. Lord, we know there is a time for everything, and we just would respond appropriately, quietly, in our hearts just now. Lord, hear our prayers and the unspoken responses in our hearts, and give us grace and wisdom as we seek to know how to express or deal with the implications of what you're saying to us today. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.